Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Samach Tes. It's a very exciting daf dealing with fascinating topics. If an animal eats a basket and then expels that basket through its rectum when it passes excrement, does the basket have the status of excrement, or does the basket have the status of a basket still? It's one of the discussions that the Gemara will talk about. The Gemara will talk about if the barley for the Omer came from the heavens. Could that also be used for the Omer? Very, very exciting Gemara. And we were at the two dots on Samach Chesama days. The Gemara is going to have four questions of Rami Bar Chama. And it starts with the first. We are on Samach Chesama days again, dealing with this special mitzvah, the mitzvah HaOmer, the special Omer sacrifice brought for the new barley, which permits the ingestion of new grain. Shtei HaLechem, as we saw, which is brought up from the new wheat, permits the usage of new grain in the Beis HaMikdash as a mincha. But Rami Bar Chama asked the following question. Shtei HaLechem, Maushi Yatiru Shelo Kesidran. Would the Shtei HaLechem permit produce if the produce gets the Shtei HaLechem and it doesn't get the Omer first? It got the Shtei HaLechem and then it got the Omer. Hey Chidami, what's the case? Kegon Dezarinu Beina Omer L'Shtei HaLechem. Let's say you plant wheat after the Omer. You planted an ER before the Shtei HaLechem. B'chalaf Alayu Shtei HaLechem. And then there's the Shtei HaLechem brought when the wheat has already taken root. And then the Omer. The Omer is brought the next Pesach. So now, after Pesach, can you start using that wheat? Is it that Kesidron Sharyan? That if you have Omer and then Shtei HaLechem, then you can use that grain for Karbanos. In their order, then they become permitted. But Shelo Kesidron, if it was out of their order, because it was first Shtei HaLechem and then Omer, Lo Sharyan, they're not permitted. Even if it was first Shtei HaLechem and then Omer, since there was both Shtei HaLechem and Omer for this produce, it becomes permitted. Amar Rabba, so Rabba tried to bring a proof. The verse says about the Omer, V'im takriv minchas bikurim, right, the rest of the verse is La'ashem, Aviv Kalui Ba'esh, Garesh Karmel, Tzakrivas Minchas Bikurim. It's called Minchas Bikurim, the offering of Bikurim, because it's the first grain of the year being offered, and it's going to be offered in order to permit people to eat the first grain, the new grain, everywhere. The verse is referring to Minchas Omer. Mehechan Ba, where do you get the Minchas Omer from? Minchas Omer, you get it from barley, says the Braisa. So the Braisa asks, how do you know that? You're saying that the Minchas Omer is barley. Maybe it's wheat. Answers the Brice with opinion number one. Rebbe Lezer says it's based on Gzeira Shava. It says, Yimtsakiv Minchas Bikurim Lashem Aviv Kalui. Right? If you're going to bring this Minchas Bikurim Aviv in the spring when things have ripened. And we know that when Makas Barad in the plague of the hail, it also speaks about Barad, it speaks about Aviv. Hapistav asoranu kasa, the flax and the barley were devastated by the hail during the plague of hail, and the pasuk says ki apista ki asora aviv, because the barley was aviv, it was newly ripe, it was springtime for barley. So you see that what is connected to the word aviv, sora hasora aviv. So now we have Gzeir Shava, Aviv, Aviv. So here too, Aviv means Sora, means barley. So again, Rebbe Lezer says, Namar Aviv B'Mitzrayim, it says the word Aviv in regards to the plague of hail next to the word Sora, next to the word barley. V'namar Aviv L'Doros, and here in this verse about the Minchas Omer, it says, V'imtakiv Minchas Bikurim L'Hashem Aviv Kalui Ba'esh, Aviv for all generations, about the Minchas Bikurim, about the Minchas Omer. Ma Aviv B'Mitzrayim Sorim, just like Aviv there was a reference to barley. That's how we know that the Minchas Omer, the Aviv about the generations, is referring to barley. That's source number one.
Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says another source. Matzinu Yachid. Let's think about sacrifices. An individual who brings sacrifices, Shebevi Chavasim and Achitin, Vechavasim and Asorim. Sometimes he brings his obligation, it's wheat. Namely, if he's a Minchas Chote, he walked into the temple by mistake when he was impure. So he has to bring an offering, a mincha of flour made of wheat. Sometimes it's flour made out of barley. A sota, a woman who was accused by her husband of being disloyal to him, and there are witnesses that she did certain things that she shouldn't have done, and we're not sure about other aspects of it. So she brings up to the Beis HaMikdash a mincha of barley. So therefore, Tzibur, the nation as a whole, also brings menachos. So it should be the same way. We know that sometimes they have to bring a mincha of wheat flour. It has to be that mevi'in chavasim nasor. It has to be that sometimes they have an obligation to bring barley flour, just like an individual. Bim atom, if you're going to tell me that the minchas omer itself is wheat, ba menachitin, lo matzinu tzibur shemevi chavasim nasor. And where do we ever have the community bringing an obligation of barley? So two possible sources. Davar acher, a third possible source from Rabbi Akiva. Im ata omer omer ba menachitin, if you're going to say that the omer is from wheat, then ain't shtei alechem bikurim. Then the shtei alechem, the two loaves, they're not going to be bikurim. They're not going to be the first. In what way are they the first? Because he already brought the first wheat for the omer. So how is shtei alechem the first? Shtei alechem has to be the first of the produce. So it must be that the shtei alechem is the first of the wheat, and the omer was the first of the barley. Im isa. So now, that's the brisa. So now going back to our question. When we say that the new grain and new produce gets permitted to go into the Beis HaMikdash with the offering of Shtei Alechem, is it that it was Omer and then Shtei Alechem, or is it even Omer? Is it even Shtei Alechem and then Omer to permit the new stuff? Vim Yisin, if you're going to tell me, Shtei Alechem Shelo Kesidra, that when you had produce, and first there was Shtei Alechem on it, and then there was Omer on it. So even in that case, Sha'aryon, the produce becomes permitted to go into the Beis HaMikdash. If that's the case, Mishkach Hasla, Demakriv Omer. You could still have a situation where the Omer could be out of wheat, and the Shtei Alechem would still be the first. How so? You could bring the Omer, Mishkach Hasla, Demakriv Omer, Mehanach to Ashrish Kodim Shtei Alechem. Bring the Omer from produce that was planted after Omer, but before the Shtei Alechem. So it's becoming, and it had Shtei Alechem on it, but it didn't have Omer on it because it was planted after the Omer. So that you bring as the Omer. Ubasar ha-Omer di-ishtakit, after the Omer of last year. Okay, so that was for one set of produce. And bring the Shtei Alechem, mehanach di-ishrush kodem la-Omer da-ashta, from things that have taken root before this Omer. Ubasar Shtei Alechem di-ishtakit, but after the Shtei Alechem of last year. So then each will be of different types of wheat. Why do you say you can't have a bikurim? It couldn't be first if you're using wheat as the Omer. It could be first, because the wheat of the Omer was wheat from Iyar, and the wheat of the Shtei Alechem is wheat from Tammuz. So the Shtei Alechem is new. They could be very different. So the Gemara says, no. Misavet bikurim lepeira karminan. Do you think when the Pasuk says Shtei Alechem is bikurim, it means it's bikurim from new produce, of new fruits, the mizbeach karminan. The point is that it has to be new produce for the mizbeach. And therefore, if the omer is going to come from wheat, hachal mizbeach mipera daishata, then the mizbeach has already eaten from the fruits of this year. We want the mizbeach to have the first of its new produce that it eats. It has to be the shtei alechem. So therefore, it can't be that that's the case. And therefore, even if Shtei Alechem does permit things shelo kesidran, nevertheless, it could be that you would be able to, the Bryce's point, that you couldn't have an Omer of wheat and then a Shtei Alechem of wheat is still true, because if you'd have an Omer of wheat and a Shtei Alechem of wheat, then this year we would have the first things on the Mizbeach for the new produce is not going to be Shtei Alechem. The first thing on the Mizbeach was the Omer. So that was the point. But basically, we haven't proven the question about, you know, does the Omer permit it out of order? Maybe it does. Maybe the Omer can permit it even when the Omer is after the Shtei Alechem. So therefore, we don't have a resolution to this question. Yeah.
Why do we even assume that we need the Omer for Mizbeach? I don't understand the assumption. Why do we say the Omer is for the Hediot?
Right. Well, we see that it has an impact on the Mizbeach on the Mishnah, right? The Bidi Eved after the Omer. We saw that Bidi Eved after the Omer, you could bring from the new produce into the Beis HaMikdash. It's only Lechatzkila, only Lemitzvah that you have to wait for the Shtei Alechem. So you see that there is an impact.
Is
it furthers the deal. The Omer started to be Matirit and the Shtei Alechem continues
the
Hatter.
The only one that actually counts. The Shtei Alechem is Lemitzvah 100%.
Right. That's what we saw. That's what we saw, right? So now we're saying, what about out of order? And we don't have an answer to it. Mm-hmm. Now the second question of Rami Bar Chama. Boy, Rami Bar Chama. Shtei Alechem, when we have this law that the Shtei Alechem that's brought on Shavuos is permitting the new produce to go onto the Mizbeach. Hanatzah Sharya, Hanatzah Sharya. When we say that it's causing things to become permitted, what is it making permitted? Is it making permitted those things that have already gotten to Hanatzah? Hanatzah is when the petals of the blossom have fallen off, and you're left with the bulb of the blossom that's going to be the fruit. Or maybe even earlier, hanatza, the first flowering, that also becomes permitted. So Gemara says, my hanatza, my hanatza. What's flowering and what's blossoming? If we're talking about the fruits, let's say the dates that are growing on the trees, and we're saying, what is being permitted through the Shtei Alechem? Is it the dates that have blossomed, just gone out yet, or the dates that have, flowered, where they just went out, or the dates that have already blossomed, chanatza, right? Is it chanatza, the first stage, or chanatza, later stage? I don't understand. You don't even need either. You don't need chanatza, you don't need chanatza. Hashdash rasha sharya. Once it takes root, it becomes permitted. The fact that it took root before the Shtei Alechem makes the Shtei Alechem permitted. Hanatza v'chanatza mibay, you have to ask me whether the blossoming or the flowering, even before the flowering, once it took root, it became permitted by the Shtei Alechem. Ella, so that's not referring to the fruits. Rather, we're saying like this. Hanatza de'ale v'chanatza de'ale. Let's say you have a tree, a date tree, and you have leaves that are flowering and a leaf that blossoms. Is that considered as if the fruits have flowered or blossomed? So, miyavi kiashrasha. Do we say that the leaves of the fruit tree coming out is already considered like wheat taking root? Oh, lo, or that's not as good as wheat taking root, and maybe the Shtei Alechem doesn't permit it yet. So, teiku, we don't know the answer to this question. Bikurim. Bikurim.
For the reversion of war.
Yes. The Shtei Alechem. Correct. That's right. Then the Shtei Alechem is what's permitting it. So the question is, which fruit does the Shtei Alechem permit? Does it permit the fruit that their leaves are already fully out? Or does it permit the fruits even where the leaves are just starting, Hanatza, even though the fruit didn't show up yet? And the fruit's only going to come in Ya'av or Tishrei.
So you cannot bring Bikurim. If I have a field with dates, I cannot bring Bikurim for my dates until the Shtei Alechem.
Exactly. The same way the Shtei Alechem permits grain to go on to the Mizbeach. The Shtei Alechem is what's permitting any new produce to go on to the Mizbeach, including fruits.
Inaugurated.
Yes. Yes. The Shtei Alechem is the inaugurator. It inaugurates the new stuff into the Beis HaMikdash. All right, so now we get into a question a little bit off from Rami Bar Chama's questions. Again, we're going to have four questions from Rami Bar Chama. Now we have a question. What's the status of seeds that are in the ground? Do they have the status of ground, or are they still seeds? And that has a ramification to all sorts of halachos, where there's a difference between if it's in the ground or it's not. So, by Rava Bar Avchanan asked, Chitin shezarin bekarka. Let's say the seeds of wheat are planted in the ground. Omer matiran or ain't omer matiran? Will the omer permit them to be eaten or not? What's the case? Idash, if they've already taken root, tina. So then, of course, the omer permits it. We learned that in the Mishnah. Idalo ashish, if they haven't taken root, so tina. Then also we have a Mishnah about it. It's not in the Mishnah. Imeshish shekodin lo omer matiran. If they took root before the omer, then the omer permits them. And if they didn't take root before the Omer, Asur not Shiyava Omer Abba. So then the Omer didn't permit them, and only next Omer will what grows out of these seeds be permitted.
The
Gemara says that you're talking about what's growing out of seeds. Yeah. We're talking about the seeds themselves. Lo tzricha, what are we talking about? Dichatz dinu. Before the Omer, in Adar, these seeds, these grains were cut. Vizarinu, and then they were planted in Adar. Kodem l'Omer, before the Omer. Vasa Omer v'chalef olayu, the Omer went over them. And then the guy decided to change his mind. And in Nisan, he digs up his fields, and he takes out the seeds from the ground. This is our question. Coming by, this is the question of Rava Barav Chanan. Malin akuti mechol minayu. Can he now, when he digs it up, can he take them and eat them? Because the question is like this. When you have seeds in the ground planted, it's considered that the seeds are in barrels and the Omer permits them. Odomar, maybe when it's in the ground, now it becomes ground. The Omer doesn't permit ground, the Omer permits seeds. This is not seeds anymore, this is now ground. So the Omer couldn't permit it. All right, so now once you have this question about Omer, let's talk about all sorts of other halachos where there's a difference between whether something is ground or not. The law of Onah, that a person who overcharges an unawares customer, so if he overcharges a sixth, the thing is really worth five, and he made the guy pay six, so he has to give back that extra sixth. But that only applies to movables. It doesn't apply to land. So now you have this question about this grain. Is this grain movables? Or is this grain land because it's in the ground? So yesh len onah, would there be onah if there was a problem in the sale? Oh, ain't len onah, there's no law of onah here. So what was the case? Elam, if the guy selling, or says, the amar leh says to the buyer, shaday bashita, plant in this ground 6 kor of wheat. V'asu sadi v'amri, and he got paid for that. And then witnesses come and tell us, that he only put in 5 kor. So 1 second. That's certainly a problem. That's worse than onah. Rava says, whenever customers have agreed on a certain weight, on a certain measure, on a certain number, even if it's not a question of a sixth in the laws of onah, if they said, I want a pound, and I got less than a pound, then it's a mekachtos, it's a false deal. The deal goes, it's done. Ella da amarle, so it must be like this. He didn't tell him a certain number. He said, Shadaiba kidabaila. Plant in this field what this field needs. Plant in the field what the field needs. All right, so that's pretty vague. Vasu sadiba, the witnesses come and say, Lo shadiba kidabaila. He didn't plant what the field needs. He put into the field less than what it needs. So now, we're talking about what's in the field. So if what's in the field, yesh len onah, is there onah because it's considered as if it's in a barrel? To command a shadi bekadja dummy, because it's as if it's in a barrel. And therefore, yesh len onah, since it was less than what it needed, and it was, let's say, a sixth less than what it needed, therefore there would be onah, you'd have to pay. Well, maybe batulil gabi ara, maybe it's considered attached to the ground. All right, another question, which would be the same. Again, the question is, seeds in the ground, are they still seeds? Another nafkamina is, can it create an oath? We know ein nishban ala karkos. If I claim that you owe me, an acre of land, and you admit that you only owe me half an acre of land, there's no oath. But if I say you owe me 2 shekel, and you say you owe me a pruta, you need to swear about the difference between a pruta and 2 shekel. You swear about movables, you don't swear about land. So what about this? A claim and a counterclaim, as Jason says, modem mixa satayna. If there's a claim and a counterclaim about seeds that are in the ground, is that a claim about ground or is that a claim about seeds? Is it seeds or do they become ground? So nishban alayim or nishban alayim? Would they create an oath obligation or not create an oath obligation? Do we say kedeshaji bekadja dami, that kadja damya, that seeds in the ground are like they're in a barrel, kibetalton dami, so it's movables, and then a claim and a counterclaim create an oath. Nishban alayim, you have to swear about them. Oh, then or maybe batalu agav ara, they are considered ground now. Ukimagar kari dami, now they're considered ground. And therefore, Einish ben Aleh, and you don't swear about them. So again, the Gemara says, for the third time, another question we don't know an answer to. Teku, we're going to wait for Eliyahu HaNavi. So he's going to give us the answer. We don't know. All right, so now we have a very creative question. Bayi Rami Bar Chama, exactly for Baruch. Rami Bar Chama asks the following question. We're talking about if things lose their status of wheat, once they're in the ground, and they're not wheat anymore, now there may be ground. What about if they're in stools of excrement? Chitin biglalei bakar, wheat that comes out of the rectum of a cow, because the cow turned it into stools. Or sorin should be glowy behema. Or you have barley in the stools. Mahu, what's the status of this barley or wheat? Is it barley or is it stools? So Lamai, the question, what's the question? If the question is it still food and it could become tummy as foods that can become tummy, or maybe it's not food anymore. So you know, we looked at it Tosef in Taharos. Chitin shebir'i bakar, wheat that's in the stools of a cow, us orin shebiglali behema, and barley in the stools of a goat, chishev aleh, or any domesticated animal, chishev alehem la'achila, if the person's planning to eat this wheat, then ein mitzami tumas ochlin. Okay, that's not enough to make it into food. It's still not considered food. It wouldn't become tameh if tuma touched it, because food can become tameh. But if he did more than just think that he's going to eat them, licked them, he picked out of the stools these grains, le'achila, in order to eat them, so then already mitzami tumas ochlin, then it's food. So we have an answer whether it's considered food or not food. Depends if he did something. If he did something, then it could become food. If he doesn't do it, just thinks, it's not yet food. So what's the question? Ella, the question is l'menachos, in regards to using this grain for a carbon mincha. So what do you mean? That's not the question. You could never use this grain as a carbon mincha. The Navi Malachi says, exactly, it's inferior grain. If you bring to God an inferior animal, a blemished animal, you bring to God a stolen animal, if you bring it to your governor, would he be happy with you? Would he show you favor? So of course, this is disgusting. You can't use it as a carbon. So Gemara says like this, Lo tzvicha, what's the case of Rami Bar Chama? Dinaktinu, he took the seeds that had gone through the digestive tract of the cow, the Zarin, when he replanted them. And now he wants to bring a mincha from the wheat that grew out of these seeds. So now the question is like this. Is the reason why these types of kernels couldn't be used in a mincha because they're disgusting? But once they're planted, they lose their disgusting quality. They've sort of been redone. Odilmor, maybe. Mishum chishusahu. Maybe the reason why you can't use such kernels for a mincha, and why it's akriveu nalefecha secha, yurtzecho isa panecha, is because if the kernels of wheat have gone through the digestive tract, they're shvacha kernels. They're not so strong. So if they're not so strong, that's not for God. For God, you only give the best, not that which isn't so strong. So if it's not so strong when it went through the digestive tract, what grows out of it is also not going to be so strong. So hashtanami kusha, because it's a weak thing. A weak thing's not going to produce vibrant, healthy produce. It'll produce schwach produce, weak produce. Maybe it's no good. Teiku, again, we don't know the answer to this question either.
It's been fertilized.
Yeah, I was going to say, manure, they use it to grow, but not for eating. Yeah.
All right, and now the fourth question of Rami Bar Chama. Boy, Rami Bar Chama had the fourth question. Pil shebalak fifa mitris. Let's say an elephant swallows a basket made of palm leaves, of the leaves of the date tree. And then he expels it through his rectum. Mahu, what's the status of this basket? The question is, Lamai, what's the question about? If the question is that the basket was impure, and maybe through going through the rectum, now it loses its identity as a basket, and therefore it's not impure anymore. So, Tzina, we have a Mishnah about this question. The Mishnah says, Kol ha-kelim yordim lidei tuma b'machshava. Mere thought is enough to make something, a vessel, so that it could become tummy. Let's say there's leather that was cut, and a guy decides, I'm using this leather now as a placemat. Okay, now it became a vessel. Now it can become tameh. If something falls on it, it made it tameh. But if something had already been decided to be a vessel, it only leaves being a vessel through an action being done to it. Let's say breaking it, etc. So here, there was no action of breaking it, because the elephant swallowed it whole and it came out whole. So it should still be able to become tameh. So why is it like this? Our question is not about a whole basket. Our question is about the leaves of a lulav. Lo tzricha de balahutzin. He swallowed lulavim. He ate lulavim. He swallowed lulavim.
and they came in and they came out whole. You now see the lulav hole that came out of the elephant. And somebody went through the waste that came out of the elephant, and he made out of these lulavim that came in the waste, he made out of it a basket. So now the question is like this: is this a basket made out of lulavim, or is this a basket made out of stools? What's the status? What makes something a stool? Is it that it went through the intestine? Or is it that it was broken down and it smells bad and it doesn't look like the way it was when it came in?
That's the
question. Now, Babinu Kfifa Mitzvah, now he made it into a basket. Do we say that the leaves were digested? And therefore, Havaleh, therefore it's considered Kichle Glalim, a basket made out of stools, which were to dry out, wouldn't have the ability to become tameh. Uklei adamo are like a basket made out of mud, and ein makablin tumah, they don't become tameh. Damar mar, we've learned klei avanim, baskets made out of vessels made out of stone. Klei glalim, baskets made out of excrement. Klei adama, baskets made out of mud. Ein makablin tumah, they don't have the ability to become tameh. Lo medibrei Torah, lo medibrei sofrim, neither biblically nor rabbinically. Odilmar, maybe lo avi ikul, it's not considered to have been digested at all because it's still whole. And therefore, it's again a basket made of leaves, and it could become tummy. Says the Gemara, maybe we can prove an answer to this question. If Shetlei, I can prove it from a terrible story. Ula said this story in the name of Reb Shimon, the son of Reb Yitzadak. Maisu balu zeivim shnei tinokos beivay yardin. It was once where wolves swallowed two young babies on the other side of the Jordan River, and then Nebuch, these babies came out of the rectum. So the question was the flesh of these babies kazayis min ames? Did it have the status of a dead body, or did it have the status of stools of a wolf? Stools of a wolf don't have tumah, but a dead body would have tumah. So what did the chacham say? They said that the flesh is no longer human flesh. It's now has the status of stools, and therefore it doesn't create impurities. So what do you see? That whatever goes through a digestive tract is considered a stool, even though it still looks like it was when it went in. So maybe there's a difference. Maybe there's a difference between leaves and flesh. Shiny basar de rakit. When you talk about a baby swallowed by a wolf, the flesh of a baby is soft. So maybe that's considered digested because it went through the tract. But leaves, maybe not. So Gemara says, maybe we can prove from the end of that story. They said that the bones of these babies did create impurity. So you see that things that are hard are not considered digested. So if they're not considered digested in regards to creating the impurity from a corpse, therefore the leaves of lulavim are not considered digested. And a basket made out of leaves of lulavim that went through the stomach of an elephant would still be a tummy basket, make out of it a vessel, it could become tummy. Whereas that's not a proof, because shiny atzamos, da'akushi tvei, but bones are very hard. So bones are very hard, they are not considered digested because they went through the digestive tract. But leaves are a little bit softer, lulavim are a little bit softer, so maybe lulavim are considered digested, and yet again, we don't have any answer to the question of Rami Bar Chama. Yeah, question.
From all this, I don't want to ask this Bar Chama question, but if he spits it out, it's no question. It retains the status.
Still spits it out from the front.
Yeah.
Yes.
The whole question is about going through the digestive system.
That's right. Now, a very, very interesting question. This is a very exciting question. By Reb Zeir had a question. Chitim shiyardu ba'avim. If wheat comes down from clouds. The clouds, I remember there was this like children's book, Raining Meatballs and Spaghetti or something. So this is a Gemara in the Sechta Menachos. Wheat that comes down from clouds. Mahu, what's the law? So the Gemara says, Lamai, what's this question about? Ila Menachos, if you want to use the wheat that came from the clouds for a mincha, Amailo, why wouldn't you be able to? Of course you could use wheat that comes from clouds for a mincha. Amazing. So Gemara says, Ella, the question is, l'shtei alechem. What about using it for the offering of shtei alechem? Because the offering of the shtei alechem, the Torah says, Mimoshvel Seichem, from your residences. Taviu Lechem Tnufa, you'll bring a bread of waving. Shnei Esronim, Solos Tiyena, Chametz Tiafena, and it is Bikurim LaShem. In a certain way, the first to Hashem. So for Shnei Alechem, that's the question, Mai. Since Hashem said Mimoshvel Seichem Amarachmana, from your residences, maybe that only means Lafuki Dechutz Lars Delo. It just can't come from outside of Israel. Abel Davim Shapir Dami, but in Israel, from clouds, it's fine. It has to come from your residences. It has to come from your farms. The clouds are not your farms. And therefore, then what comes from the clouds would also be no good. So Gemara says, is there such a thing? Is there wheat that comes from clouds? So Gemara says, yeah, there is, with the Arabs. There was an Arab caravan driver. His name was Adi. He once got a pile of wheat, a tefach tall, but lata parsa, from the clouds over three different parsos. The clouds dropped from lots of wheat. So,
but
we don't know.
It didn't come from the clouds, it originally came from the earth. And then, I mean, I read the note here that basically then the clouds swept the sheep full of wheat. I mean,
that's Rashi's explanation. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Shiyadu above and they came down with the clouds, imamatar, with the rain. Kishishasu avin bukyanus. When the clouds in the Atlantic, in the ocean, picked up stuff in a storm, they swallowed a boat filled with wheat, and then when they dropped out water, they dropped out the wheat. However, Tosos
wants to know where
says it a little bit differently.
It can't be chutzalar. It can't be. It doesn't work. Right?
Yeah.
Unless the way you explained it, you said clouds in Israel, clouds.
But this is what Tosos says. Tosos says it's miracle wheat from clouds. Look at the Tosos. Chitim shiyadu ba'avim, wheat that comes down in clouds, pirish b'kuntris, sheshasu b'ukyanu subalu sfinam alei achitim. They swallowed some boat that was carrying lots of wheat. Kashal Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, I don't understand that. If it's from outside of Israel, how could you have Shtei Alechem, just because it came through a cloud, if it came from outside of Israel, the Torah says, Mimosh Voseichem, from your residences. And if it is in Israel, of course it's okay. It was a miracle that brought it down. I think, Gavriel, the earliest time for Talis and Tefillin is probably a little bit later, no? What's our time? Maybe even be a little bit later than that, because that was really
another couple days.
6:20 for Talis and Tefillin, probably. 6:20 for Talis and Tefillin. So we'll put on the Talis and Tefillin. Yeah, once you're in the middle, you just do it. But you'll make a bracha on the head Tefillin, and you'll make the bracha later.
Say Yad, and only then if you forget, you put it on the
Rosh. Okay, so again, this is a question of the wheat from the clouds, according to Tosfos, is miracle wheat. According to Rashi, it was wheat from a boat. Okay, another question. By Reb Shimon ben Pazi. Reb Shimon ben Pazi has a question. Shibolas, let's say you have a stalk, Shevia Shlish, Kodom LaOmer. It already grew a third before the Omer. But then, V'akra, then he uprooted it, Vishasla, and he replanted it, Li'achara Omer, after the Omer. V'osifa, and it keeps growing. So now, Ma, what's the law? Baser Yikar Azlina, do we look at the core? The core was already permitted. And therefore, Sharia Omer, even though it grew more, the Omer permits it. Odilmor, maybe Baser Tosefas Azlina. Now that it grew more, it changed. And now it has the status of how it grew. And therefore, Achiyavi Omer Abba. You have to wait till the next Omer. So as the Gemara Tiv Shutlei, we can resolve it. Mehadza Amar Rabavo Amar Rabbi Yochanan. For Rabavo, Salim Rabbi Yochanan. Yalda, if you have a new tree, it doesn't yet have 3 years to it, so its fruit is orla. Shesibcha biskena, and it was mixed up, grafted together with an older tree. Uva peros, and in this yalda there's already some fruit. Afilu osip masayim, even if this fruit has grown 200 times more than what it was when it was just a separate young tree. Aser, you're still not allowed to eat the fruit. So what do you see? You see that we do not...
Interesting.
You're not allowed to eat it. So what do you see from here?
It retains its status.
That's right. We don't look at how it grew. We look at what it was when it started. It maintains its status. Similar question. Batzel, if you have an onion, shishasla b'karam, planted in a vineyard, and ne'akarakarim, if the vineyard is uprooted, afilu hosu b'masayim, even though the onion now grows 200 times more, usher, it stays prohibited because we look at how it began, and that is the source. So that's the bottom line. We follow the ikar. So Gemara says, no, he gufa kami baile. This is the question that he had. Mif shit pshitu l'rabban the basri ikar, linan loshna l'kula v'loshna l'chumra. Is it that we always follow the source regardless of whether that's going to be a leniency or a stringency? Maybe they're not sure. And l'chumra, I mean, in these cases, they went to the strict side. L'kula l'amin, we wouldn't do this as a leniency. And again, this question as well, take, we don't know the answer. Rabbi Chananya ben Akashi, Omer, Ratzah Kedosh Baruch Hu, L'zakos es Yisrael, Lefi Chachir B'lem Torah, Mitzvah Shneem, Ratzah Yichavetz Laman, Tidko Yagdil, Torah V'Yadir.